You are listening to the Buckeye Visualist.
Welcome to the Buckeye Visualist, the official podcast for the Ohio News Photographers Association. We are here at the annual ONPA convention. It's April Fool's Day, and more than 40 photojournalists of all ages and career stages have turned out to this great event at Midwest Photo in Columbus, Ohio. I am your host, Lori King, and I'm set up at a booth inside Midwest Photo. And this is part two of our special edition of the Buckeye Visualist. Part one featured award-winning photojournalist Marcus Yam of the LA Times. We will continue our show with two dynamic and longtime ONPA leaders, Kimberly Barth, former treasurer and current director of the board, and Bob DeMay, our wonderful webmaster, who will both delve into a little history of the ONPA and how vital it still is today. We also have Ohio University photojournalism professor Stan Alost and two of his students, Pearl Spurlock and Jack Tatum, the next generation of visual storytellers. So let's get to it. First up is ONPA leaders Bob DeMay, a retired photojournalist from the Akron Beacon Journal. And I first met you, Bob, when you were at the Youngstown Vindicator, and I was a little cub photojournalist at the Warren Tribune.
A few moons ago.
Many moons ago.
I take care of the website for ONPA. I have for, back into the 80s.
And the website looks phenomenal, by the way.
Thank you.
I am also here with Kimberly Barth. She is from Akron, Ohio. And I am from Akron.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Born and raised. Kimberly Barth is the retired director of photography for the Akron Beacon Journal. And she is also the current chair of the ONPA board and has been the treasurer for 30 years.
That is correct. I just became the chair of the board this past election and handed over the treasury reins to Barbara from the Dispatch. So
you guys bring a lot of history to Ohio, particularly for the ONPA. So we're going to get into that real quick because I know the conference is going to be starting shortly. So let's talk about the history of the ONPA.
There is a lot of history.
We've come a long way.
We really have.
In my early years, we were attending judgings at Ohio State that Tom Hubbard put on. We were making prints on 16 by 20 boards and flipping them. Then we went to slide entries. Now we're digital. It's been amazing.
You've seen a lot of change over the years in photojournalism and at ONPA.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
From mixing chemicals, which was funny. I was out in the shop here at Midwest yesterday, and I didn't realize they still sold actual film chemicals, and I remember the smells.
Oh, the smell of Dextol.
Takes you back.
It does.
So ONPA started in 1951. There were seven photographers that got together and in Tuscora Park in New Philadelphia, Ohio, and said, let's start an organization for professional photographers. So this is our 72nd year, and it's definitely been an amazing journey, and ONPA is just it's a great organization to be a part of. I was a student. I graduated Ohio State. And I was a student when I first joined ONPA, so it's been great, and it's great to be involved.
We are really lucky to have ONPA because we were talking to Andrew last night, and he was saying that when he did a little bit of research when he became president, there's only like seven active chapters now, and we are one of them, and we are very active. So hats off to you guys who kept it alive all these years.
Everybody kind of builds on it, over the years. It was handed over to us, and we built it, continued it, and grew it. And, the current generation's got the reins now, and hopefully they'll do the same.
I'm trying to think who was talking about students being involved, and I don't think they're ready yet to take the reins of the ONPA, but it's essential that they're a part of it.
It's nice that it's available to them when they're going to school, mm-hmm. so they're introduced to it. Hopefully they'll end up in a state like Ohio that has an active organization they can get involved with. You know, they can use it to learn from the people in that room who have a lot of years of experience. So even if they just tap on that resource.
What are some of the benefits that ONPA can offer?
We're excited this year to actually have an in-person conference again. We haven't been together since 2019, and we don't spare any expense. We brought, Pulitzer Prize winning photographer and photojournalist, Marcus Yam in, and so we have some great speakers. We've always prided ourselves on bringing in great speakers and just putting on a great convention so everybody can learn and can network. It's not only a social event, but it's a very educational event. So,
who are some of the speakers today?
Yeah, Marcus Yam, and then we also have Cara Osley from the Cincinnati Enquirer. She's currently the director of photography at the Cincinnati Enquirer. And we also have freelance photographer Angelo Merendino, who is from Cleveland, Ohio. So we've got a very diverse panel that's going to talk about the changes in photojournalism today and just basically, how the business has changed, how everything has changed, how being a storyteller is still relevant in this day and age. So, it's going to be an exciting day today with our speakers, and we've got lots of raffle prizes. We're going to hand out the awards for the Photographer of the Year and all the other awards from our annual contest. So it's just so exciting to be back and, just to be in person.
Oh, we're also doing portfolio reviews later.
We are, and that's an opportunity that we do. Our speakers have graciously volunteered to do that, and also Dave Foster, a professor from Kent State University, is coming in. He's going to also review portfolios, which is so valuable for students to get different perspective and different people to actually look over their work.
Yeah, they're probably used to getting their professor's feedback, but now this is somebody from outside of academia, tell them, putting their spin on their work.
Yeah, and they have these professionals and these great photographers here to review a report that's just invaluable experience.
There's about 40 people today.
Being the first year back, and we've got, the new board, we're actively, working to build the membership again. There's a lot of photographers out there who are no longer members. I think people know about ONPA, but we want to bring them back because we just feel that it's important. There's a lot of energy on the board, and we'd just like to get our membership back up. There was a time when we had over 300 journalists, television and still, with over 300 active members.
With the prices right, my goodness.
Yes,
there hasn't been a raise in dues for about 35 years.
Yeah. Is it $35 for professionals and $25 for student?
Yes, and the student membership is, if you're a student, you just join once, and that's all through your until you graduate. So
the price is right, so come on in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Bob and Kimberly. I really appreciate you joining me on the show today. Let's get back to the convention.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
So continuing on with the special guests at the ONPA convention, and with me I have Ohio University folks. So I have a professor and two of his students. So that is really awesome to bring education into the fold. So let's start off with you, Stan Alost, from Athens, Ohio. You are a professor at the School of Visual Communication at Ohio University. And we have Pearl Spurlock from Wilmington, Ohio. You are a student photojournalist. And Jack Tatum, and you are from Upper Arlington. And are you a photojournalism student as well?
I am.
Okay. So Stan, let's start off with you. You have been a NPPA and ONPA member for a long time.
We won't say how many years. Just Moses was a little boy at the time when I started. Been here for a long time. I came today to be a part of this group, particularly in the post-pandemic, not getting to see a lot of the people, but came up to want to hear from former student Marcus Yam. Phenomenal presentation today, but also just to get to reconnect with people who are deeply engaged with this field. We call it a business, but it really is kind of a calling. People that are devoted to doing this kind of thing. As Marcus was talking about, it is important to go and tell these stories so that we inform our public.
So you brought two students with you today.
They came up on their own accord. We actually have quite a number of students that are here today. But these are two of our a freshman and a sophomore, the future of photojournalism. And I got to say, I am excited with where it's going to go.
So what brought you two here today? Pearl, let's start with you.
So Marcus Yam came and talked to my picture editing class last semester, and I've really admired his work for a long time, and hearing him talk about it so humbly, and he's so down to earth, and I think that's very admirable in the kind of work he does. And I like to be at these kind of things because I like to find community in other photographers and learn from professionals and just kind of hear their stories and what they have to say. It's very fascinating.
So you love documenting rural living and agriculture. How do you get photojournalism out of that?
So I grew up in a rural area. And when I came to Athens, we were also in that kind of rural space, even more so being in the foothills of Appalachia. And so I kind of did some digging during my picture stories class to find people who connected with Appalachian culture. I met some local farmers who grow mushrooms. And so I started to learn a lot about mycology, a lot about homesteading and how people around here, or around Athens, live off the land and provide for themselves and their families. And I thought that was really cool.
What about you, Jack?
I'm part of NPPAOU. And I heard about this about through that. And I heard that Marcus was going to be here. I've been admiring him since I was in high school. He was one of the people that helped me find Ohio University and like their photojournalism program. So I've been always wanted to go to an event that he's going to be at and hear him speak. And that was the main reason why I came.
You prefer to tell stories of sports. And he didn't have any sports in his portfolio, so.
It is true, but I'm a freshman, so I'm still trying to like figure out exactly what I want to do like as a future like career. Just currently, in high school, I did a lot of sports photography, and then doing a lot of sports photography in college as well, but I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with photojournalism.
Okay, what kind of stuff do you guys cover at your school? Are you involved with the student newspaper? What are your positions there?
We are both in the Post, working for and with the photo team.
Yeah, both of us are contributing photographers with the Post. We're also both in NPPA. I also shoot sports for the athletics department at OU, and then for Backdrop Magazine as well.
How is the health of the student newspaper there? As far as are you still publishing a print? Are you mostly online? How is the attendance of student workers there? Are you paid? My curious mind wants to know all of these questions.
We are still publishing print once a week, and then the rest is online. We have a pretty big staff. We have one staff photographer right now who is paid, and then a photo editor and a photo director, and we have a pretty big photo staff in our department. I don't know as much about the other departments, but from what I know and what I've seen, they are thriving as well.
Stan, OU has been a beacon of light for photojournalists across the country, and it is one of the go-to places. I think it's the primo school in Ohio for visual storytelling.
We've through the years, we've attracted some really good students, and they've gone on to do really well. Marcus being one example. We're not the only program in the country, but we have, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I've actually lost count of actually how many numbers of Pulitzer Prizes our former students have won. Marcus is another example of that. But we've got, just within the last several years, multiple Pulitzer Prizes with our alumni. And they also go on to do a lot of other kinds of things. There are students that are come through the photojournalism program that are now working for nonprofits. So there's a wide range now of ways that they can use the skill set of storytelling, because by the time they graduate from our program, they're not only really good at photojournalism, but they're writers. They're able to design the presentation of their work, whether that's in print or online. They can do video and audio, so they come out with a full range skill set so that they can move into whatever part of the field they want to use, because they've got this wide-ranging skill set. And I think it's necessary as the field evolves, and it's no longer just an industry. It's a much broader field, and people are still telling stories, and they're connecting information to a broad audience. And I think it's essential for a democracy. And so we've got people from one end to the other, from convention and visitors bureaus working to do communication for them through people like Marcus and others at the upper end of the news industry, from the wire services to Getty Imagery. So we've got a wide range of people out there, and the industry is changing. And it has been for a while, and having been at it for a long time, looking back, it's always been changing. But I look ahead at these students and the work they're doing, and I know that they're going to go on and do some really great stuff. I have a recent graduate student that was a dual major in marine biology and in photojournalism, and she's now working doing stories about marine biology down in Florida for publications down there. So it's that ability to take this learning and change the communities.
What are some of the classes you're taking that is teaching some of the skills that he just mentioned, or that you want to take?
So right now I'm actually in a class called Multi-Platform Reporting, which is under the Journalism School. And that's been a challenge for me because it's a lot of writing, it's traditional journalism, and we're more used to the photo angle of things. And so coming at it from that perspective has been a little bit tricky, but I think it's been really beneficial to me to learn to report and learn to write, because that's so important for captions and it's so important for being informed about the work you're doing, and you're not just shooting pictures, you know, you're documenting and you're reporting on that scene. So,
you know, as our photojournalism jobs go away, it's more important to be diverse. And I mean, look at me, I started out as a military journalist writing, and then I became a photojournalist at the Toledo Blade for 26 years, and we just recently retired from there, and now I'm podcasting. So you just don't know where you're going to end up. So when you can go to a place like OU and develop all of these multiple skills, you can go anywhere and just start working right off the bat. I know you're dying to say something, Jack. What is it?
Well, right now, one of my favorite classes is photojournalism, single images. And I'm a pretty good professor, one of the best professors, probably my favorite professor I've had so far.
A plus.
I'm paying him to say that.
A plus.
Yeah. So that class has been very helpful. It's one class that I don't want to miss. It's a class, every time I go there, I feel like I'm learning something new. And there's not a single day where I want to miss that class.
Cool. Is there anything that you would like to add about maybe going to J school or photo J school, you know, when our field is dwindling? How important do you think it is still to go to school?
I think that it's always beneficial to go for the right reasons. We see our peers winning awards, and we see all these successful alumni, and I think our idea of success starts to change into more of this materialistic view of the world. And what we really need to backtrack and think about is why we're in this in the first place, and how we want to contribute to the world, and how we want to help. And it's not that photojournalism is ever going to work miracles, but it's still showing people what life is like in certain situations, and it's informative and it's important.
I mean, I think I could be very successful having an office job, but being stuck in an office would not make me happy. So I that's like the main reason why I want to be a photojournalist. Also, like, especially with what Marcus was saying, like, someone needs to be able to cover, like, cover conflicts, because without that, without media, no one's going to know about it, no one's going to care. So I feel like the there's still a lot of jobs that will be important and will always be important in this field.
Last word, I was just thinking about what Pearl was saying and thinking about conversations with people like Marcus and some other people that have been highly successful at this and won lots of awards. But when Marcus was in Afghanistan and chose to stay after the U.S. military and all the diplomats left, he's making pictures, for example, at the site of the drone strike, misinformed drone strike. He's making pictures not because he thinks they're going to win him an award or recognition, but because he wants his audience to know. He wants them to be able to understand. And the people that do this well, that are most successful, and I think the people that we look up to, put themselves out there to experience the things in life so that an audience can understand, not because they're going to win an award or that they're going to make more money. They're really just trying to help us understand. And there are people that are willing to put themselves, like Marcus, in harm's way. And I'm just so glad to be a part of a group of people that care that much about the rest of the world, that they're willing to do that.
You know what? At the very end, he was saying he was homeless. He's been homeless for the past 3 years because he is going from assignment to assignment to assignment, and he lives out of a duffel bag. I mean, that's dedication. What kind of classes do you teach?
Oh, wow. It's a wide range of things, from the introduction to visual communication, which is a broad-based entry-level class, through photojournalism classes for freshmen, as well as the capstone class for seniors, as well as classes for graduate students. We have a graduate program that Marcus was part of, and so I do a photo essay class with the graduates.
All right. Any last words?
Thank you so much for having us. This is a great event.
Thank you for coming. Well, that concludes the special ONPA convention episode. If you haven't joined the ONPA yet, why not? You get a lot for a little. What a bargain. I am your host, Lori King, and I hope you enjoyed listening to our special guests, Marcus Yam, Kimberly Barth, Bob DeMay, Stan Alost, Pearl Spurlock, and Jack Tatum. Keep an F2-point mind, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Buckeye Visualist and ONPA production.